Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second episode now of Thrones, Forged D20's newest series. I'm your host, Hunter, joined by my co-host, Zach. We're here to bring you back another excellent episode following last episode's conclusion, where Daedalus and Alistair went tumbling out of the second story of the Darkheart Manor after a very, very close fight between the two of them. Alistair being the first to stand after being gut-wrenched suplexed out of the second story. He had the opportunity to finish his foe, but instead chose to lower his blade. And he was distracted by the unmarked graves of his family. After snapping back to reality and getting a grasp of his sanity, he helped Daedalus up, and the two of them came to a bit of an understanding, a truce between them. Alistair has gone inside and has headed towards his, well, I would assume his quarters.
Correct. So Alistair
pack his bag and get his things together. Well, go ahead, brother. Sorry.
No, all I was saying is that you'd be right. Alistair is up in his quarter right now, just kind of packing some extra clothes, things that he'll need before he hits the road. Kind of gathering his things. Mainly right now, he has a dragon chest set that he looks at, and he remembers some of the times where he was playing with his dad, and his dad was teaching him how to play dragon chess and showing him many different counters to many different attacks that one could offer. And he just remembers and has this very solemn look on his face as he packs it and puts it in his bag, hiding it away, pretty much having everything that he has in tow ready to go. Turns and looks back at the room one last time, lets out a sigh, walks out of the room and then walks back downstairs and heads towards Daedalus.
All right. As you head downstairs, you see that Daedalus has moved himself from the rear sort of entrance of the Darkheart Manor, sort of that back patio area, lanai, if you will. He's moved himself back to the main hall near where the two of you had your first sort of official meeting with each other at the front door. You see he has also packed what is left of his bags, and he's also taken time to bandage what wounds he has. He's taken off the portions of armor that were destroyed in the fight, and he's taking his what was once his shield, which is now nothing but splinters. He's just taking a few odds and end pieces here and there from the shield itself and just stowing it away for perhaps use in the making of a new one. He looks over at Alistair as he approaches, and he gives him a curt nod for a moment, and then he begins to speak. Have you gathered your things and said your goodbyes?
As Daedalus asks this question, Alistair turns right to the left, where he sees the family study, and right in the visible area in the doorway at the opposite end on this wall here, you can see a family portrait of the family of the Vale, or the Darkhearts. Why don't you describe what Alistair's eyes see, since I don't really know what his family necessarily looks like. I left that up to you, so.
So, as Alistair looks over to the family portrait, he recognizes the family before him. Obviously, he sees himself younger than the age of, I believe it was 14 at the time?
Correct.
At the age of 14, this is around the time this painting was taken. This was the last year that the family was actually together as a unit before the disaster came to the household. You see a very regal looking man clad in a sort of black overcoat with very fine golden and occasional blue trimmings to this black coat. You see this man has very properly groomed, short but slightly curly, whitened silvery hair. He has a sort of aged look to him, something that a politician or a king or a lord would experience through years of stresses and difficulties that the office would obviously afford to him. He has a bit of a stubble on his face. He looks very much like Alistair. It's not Alistair, though, clearly. He also sees a woman. She has raven-colored hair, very soft features, deep, dark brown eyes that seem to be almost projecting from the portrait. A lot of life behind those eyes, even in a still image. Next to that woman, a small girl, seemingly a carbon copy of herself, raven hair, very deep brown eyes, but a very, very wide grin on her face, full of joy, and she's holding a small doll with her. And Alistair sees himself. He sees himself smiling. Perhaps this was one of the last times he genuinely felt that kind of happiness captured in this one moment.
As he turns to Daedalus, you can see that through his one eye that you can see is a streak of tears going down his face, and he just nods. He doesn't say anything.
Daedalus takes a moment. He looks at the image himself, seeing the portrait. He looks at Alistair. "We will be back. We will be back." And grabs Alistair by the shoulder and starts ushering him towards the door. As they approach, Alistair, can you roll me a perception check real quick?
Twelve.
There is a... If you recall, and I'll remind the audience as well... excuse me, I have to clear my throat. I have a scratch in my throat. There is a... There was a certain time that the battle between the two began and ended. The battle between Alistair and Daedalus ended in the evening. It began at sundown, but it's now evening time. And as they approach the door that is busted wide open after Daedalus kicked the thing down, you can see a very clear, bright light emanating from outside, and it's cascading over the front of the yard from the back of the house, from the projection of the shadows. It is a very bright light. And beyond this, you get the smell of soot and ash and something burning on the tip of your nose. You see Daedalus' head raises and you see his nostrils begin to flare. "Something's burning," he says. He turns to you.
"I smell it too." He's going to kind of look around, Daedalus, look for the origin of the smoke, if he can see it with a 12. I'm
okay.
Not sure if he can.
You would have to go outside. Okay. You could clearly tell that. You would have to go outside to be able to see what this is. It's not from inside the house. You can tell that.
Okay, so Alistair is going to step outside into the main courtyard.
Daedalus follows. As you step outside to the main courtyard... You see as you approach and you step 5, 10, 15, and then about 20 feet out from the front steps of the house, as you enter the main courtyard proper, you do an about face, a 180. Daedalus and you both begin to turn, and as you turn, Alistair, your eyes widen. Your jaw drops as the ancestral Eldergleam tree of your family, the very foundation of this manor, is burning before your eyes. A tree that has stood for hundreds of years. It has outlasted generation after generation. And now, on this day, when you decide to leave, the tree begins to burn. You see, not only are the leaves burning, but the very roots and trunk of the tree are burning as well. You can see the smoke billowing out of the great tree. And as you're awestruck by this visual, you take a moment to look at Daedalus, just for a split second, to see if he sees what you're seeing. If this is not your mind playing tricks on you again, like the devil's back in the manor, you see he sees it as well. Daedalus' eyes widen. You can see the bright, bioluminescent emerald eyes. Even they are in pure awe of what he sees. Alistair, this is not good.
We need to go check this out. If there's someone here trying to burn this down, we need to at least stop them. Will you come with me?
He looks at you. He looks at the tree. Lead on, he says, as the two of you take your steps and begin to go around the manor. You'll be going west of the courtyard toward the left side of the house to circle around. It's much closer than the eastern side. You know this as being a native to this home. As you're making your way around the western side of the manor, though, we hear a loud creaking, many steps, shouting even, in common, when a voice calls out, "Stop right there!" Daedalus stops.
So does Alistair.
You stop, and as you and your comrade turn to see who calls out to you, you see what looks to be a sizable group of people. A small mob. Maybe more than 50, less than 100. Can't quite tell the count. But amongst them, you see the common folk. You see they're much different than you remember. Even this brief glimpse, you can see the years of hardship on their faces. You can see the fear in their eyes as they see the tree burning as you do. And amongst these common folk, displaced here and so between them, and at the forefront, you see what look to be members of some sort of cleric or priesthood order. You see crimson robes with golden and white trimmings. These robes are very, very silk-like. Every so often, some of these priests are armored like clerics. They have some shoulder pauldrons. Maybe they have some plates here and there for armor. Every so often, you see them have a mace that is banded to them at their belt line. You see at the very front of them a priest similarly dressed to the others, but in much more ornate robes, and he's wearing a very large sort of formal headdress. And this headdress is merely it's crimson colored, as is the robes, but it has a golden symbol at the center of it. If it looks like a rising sun of some form. The man standing before you, he has very stocky build. He's not too tall, not as tall as Alistair, but he's very stocky, very full built, and a very neatly kept salt and pepper beard and emerald colored eyes. Although they don't glow like Daedalus's. Now, this man steps forward. And you see, as this man steps forward, he speaks to the townsfolk. "Hold, hold, hold. Let them speak. Let me speak with them. You there, Dragonborn. My men tell me you came here for seeking the Lord of the Vale. They say you had permission from the Lord's Alliance. Is this true?" Daedalus steps forward. "Yes, this is the truth. May I see this decree from the Lord's Alliance?" Daedalus slowly turns, and you see his head kind of glance at Alistair, and he looks forward. "I no longer have it." "And why would that be?" the man asks. Daedalus turns and looks at you, and he kind of nudges you with his left arm. "Go on,
Alistair raises
his hand. Get us out of this!
Because I destroyed it. I thought
and
this
who might you be?
Alistair, as he was interrupted, looks a little bothered. I am Alistair Darkheart.
You see, as you say this, and hear, many gasp. Darkheart! Lord of the Vale! You see the townsfolk begin to whisper to themselves. They look at you with shocked eyes. Some of them even begin to recognize you. They start nodding up and down, looking at each other. Some of the clerics and priests as well, as what looks to be, we'll call him the Archbishop to our suspicions at this time. His eyes widen. He puts his hands up almost defensively, meaning no offense to you. His eyes widen. Is this true? Alistair Darkheart, you live.
Yes.
Then what? And where and why have you been gone for 4 years? What has happened to you and to your family?
My family? They're not with us anymore. And you can see that Alistair has a sad look on his face. You can still see the same stream of tears kind of still rolling down his face from when he was looking at his family portrait. For the last 4 years, I've been just trying to cope with it.
Hear more gasp, shocks, awes, and you see the townsfolk begin to look at you, and their tone's beginning to change from a shocking realization to almost a betrayed look on their faces. And the bishop begins to speak again. How could they be dead, and you live?
Alistair just sits in silence for a moment. And then he looks up, making eye contact with the man before him, realizing that he must say something. He can't say nothing in this situation. I'm here because I must be cursed. Because I should have suffered the same fate that my family did. So why do I live? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, I'd much rather be dead with them.
Roll me a d20 persuasion check.
23.
You see as some of the townsfolk start to whisper to each other. You see an uproar starts to begin again. You hear one voice cry out, his family is dead, but yet he lives, and the tree burns. You hear another voice shout out, the prince lives! This is a sign of good things! The archbishop raises his hands again to quell the crowd. Young lord, or if I can even call you that.
Please do not call me lord, I do not deserve such a title.
Around you. For 4 years you have been gone. For 4 years it has been up to the Order of the Dawn to take care of this town that your father left us. And for 4 years these town people have been waiting for your return. Now you return. Your family dead. And our ancestral tree burns. All news to us on the same day that you return. I will not accuse, but I will point out the awfully large coincidences. And as the old adage says, where there is smoke, and he points behind you, there's clearly fire. What say you, Darkheart?
What more is there really to say? I can understand some of the suspicion of the people of this great town. But to be honest, I seek to leave because I don't deserve to be here. I don't think I even deserve to live. For the last 4 years, I did nothing but wallow in my pity, alone, after my family died. On my own birthday. And you see him start to cry even more and more. I'm not fit to be a lord. Some of you call me a prince. I'm not fit for that either. That's why I hid myself away for so long. A 14-year-old boy fit to rule a town, a city, on his own, with his family dead. No one could truly handle that pressure. You all have done nothing but good things for this town since my family's disappearance. Maybe I should go on a journey to discover who I really am. To discover what life truly means and how to make it worth living. I want to quell some of your suspicions. And he starts speaking to the common folk. As he would. Some of you are suspicious that I may have been the one who killed my family, and I seek to prove my innocence to you. So I will go to the Lord's Alliance and face trial, because I want to prove to you, one, that I did not and would not ever kill my family, and that maybe one day I can bring back meaning to the name Darkheart and prove to yourselves that I can be a Lord of the Vale. That I can be just like the man my father was. Because he is a man that we should all aspire to be. And Alistair just looks down and remains silent. He doesn't say anything else. Nor will he want to say anything else. He's too mentally exhausted at this point.
You hear the crowd whisper throughout your speech. You see a few emotional responses. Some people nod, listening to your words. Some people shake their heads, almost as disgust and disbelief of what you're saying. And as you say the words that you will go to the Lord's Alliance and face trial, you can kind of see Daedalus turn as you say this and his head tilt. Like, what are you doing? You hear him. You can kind of see him looking at you like, are you crazy? But Daedalus is oath bound. He is going to help you to the end of it. So as you say this, the Archbishop clasps his hands together slowly. Then, young lord, the Order of the Dawn imbues power with me as Archbishop, as protector of this fine land in the midst of a transition from a lordship to something else. It pains me, Alistair. We must do what is best for Darkvale. Alistair Darkheart, from this day forth, you are banished from the lands of the Vale. You are banished from Darkvale. If you or your friend here step foot in the Vale or its territories and are found by agents of the Order or by members of this fine town, you will be taken in for immediate execution. You will be given amnesty to this ruling for the evening. But by the time the sun rises in the morning, you will be leaving this town forevermore until you either prove your innocence or die. Do you understand, Alistair? He turns to the common folk. My good people, must tend to the tree. Come, clerics and priests, gather the townsfolk, grab supplies, grab whatever water we can. We must try to put out this fire and find the source. As the townsfolk begin to disperse and start following the orders of the clerics and the priest, start moving them around the manor to the eastern and western sides of the house, they start to run around. Some even go through the front doors right out towards the back. They don't even care. They're walking right by you. Daedalus stands there and looks at Alistair. And he begins to speak. You do realize by facing the Lord's Alliance in a trial for your innocence, if you are found guilty, they will execute you as well.
I know. And Daedalus, it would bring me great joy if I was reunited with my family anyway. Either I prove my innocence, or I die. I am a man of my word, and it shall be done. Now, I feel a little obligated to help these people take out this fire. Would you like to come help me?
Daedalus looks at you. I think we're supposed to be leaving.
Well, they said they would give us amnesty for the evening. And though I might have hidden myself away...
Do you really want to go barking up a tree with a bunch of priests and clerics that are willing to kill you?
Not willing to kill me yet. He kind of chuckles to himself a little bit. But I guess you're right. I guess we should make haste.
Daedalus looks at him. If you want to go help them, go help them. I will not stop you. That is your decision. But I will wait here. That's too big of a fire for any of us to put out. None of us can cast magic on that level. I do not know create or destroy water. I suspect perhaps you do. But if you do not know this, we will be of no aid to them. Look how large that tree is. By all means, if you wish to go, go.
It might do a little more harm than good. I say we leave. I kind of want to get out of this place anyway.
Daedalus nods. He picks up his bag, and the two of you begin walking away from the manor. But as you're walking, you hear someone or something call out to you. You hear a voice.
Excuse me, my lord! My lord!
Alistair stops and turns to see the voice that called over what he can assume to be him, because he knows some people will call him that.
You see a young half-elven woman with auburn-colored hair in a sort of pale, summery green, loose-fitting dress. She approaches very quickly. Seems to be in a state of, I wouldn't say shock, but almost comparable to that. She looks at you as she approaches.
By the gods, you really live. This is wonderful news. Forgive me, my lord. My name is Elia. Elia Redmore. And Daedalus, it's so good to see you again. You found him.
Yes, I did. Alistair Darkheart, this is Elia Redmore, the woman that directed me to the manor.
Alistair bows.
A pleasure to meet you, Elia.
Pleasure to meet you, my lord. She curtsies back in return.
Alistair holds a hand up immediately as she says it again. He let it slide the first time.
Please, I do not deserve such a title.
Forgive me, Alistair,
she says kind of hesitantly.
He nods and smiles.
I'm elated to see that a member of the royal family lives. My family has lived in service to this town for generations, and my betrothed, Isaiah Redmore, he currently serves the Lord's Alliance. He'll be due back any day now. He'll be so excited to see that you're here. He never gave up hope that your family would return to this town.
Alistair smiles upon hearing this. I'm glad it could bring you such joy.
I don't think you did it. I don't think someone who cried like that could have done that to their family. Please, I hope this doesn't offend you, but the two of you are in no state to travel right now. Your wounds are terribly bandaged. Yeah. And you look like you're ready to pass out at any moment. Please, come back with me to my home. Rest there. I can dress your wounds, and you two can properly bathe and rest for the evening before you depart in the morning.
Alistair turns to Daedalus.
Don't look at me, it's your call.
Alistair looks back at the woman.
She sells flowers.
I do sell flowers. I'm trustworthy, she said.
Daedalus nods, he looks at you, and he kind of puts his hand out like, see?
She seems quite trustworthy, yes. I will gladly take you up on your offer, Elia. That is very kind of you. You don't have to be so generous for me.
She nods in agreement, and as she nods, you can hear the sort of, she's hiding a bit of elation to her voice. This is excellent. The Lord of the Vale in my house. I'm sorry. I just know Isaiah would be so happy. I can't wait for him to come back and tell him of this. If it would be of any inconvenience of you, you can tell me no, but when you return and you're proven innocent, I would love for you to meet him.
He's doing a good thing serving the Lord's Alliance. I would be happy to meet him.
Oh, I forget myself. Come with me. This way.
She starts like walking off ahead, and she's kind of distracted. She's literally talking to a prince, a noble. This isn't something a common girl experiences. She starts to walk off ahead of Daedalus and Alistair. Daedalus turns and looks at Alistair. She sells flowers. She's trustworthy. I don't know.
She seems
she's
very
gone on about her betrothed ever since I met her.
She's clearly in love. I'm a little jealous, I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, Isaiah must be a lucky man.
I would say
so. As the two newly, what would the word be? Newly oath-bound comrades begin to follow the young Mrs. Redmore back to her home. Alistair, you every so often peek over your shoulder to see the tree, and as we get further and further away, the magnitude of this fire only gets larger and larger to you. You see the smoke billowing up to the cloud line. So large the smoke is that it blots out a portion of the night sky, the stars invisible to your eyes beyond the smoke. You see the tree burning. What little leaves remain are but kindling for the ever-growing fire. But as you look at the tree itself, this fire has been burning 15, 20 minutes at least at this point, maybe half an hour. Although the fire burns, and it burns hotter than the hells, you see that there's no sign of the branches falling. The tree itself is not suffering true structural damage beyond the burning of the leaves. It is odd to you and haunting. As you hear the crackling of the fire in the distance, shouting of the clerics and priests giving orders trying to put out the fire, you notice Daedalus has not turned back even once.
as you two continue on towards the young Redmore's home. Is there anything you wish to say to your comrade before we transition to Elia's home?
Let me think. One second.
Take your time.
I got it. There is something I want to say.
I have a question for you, Daedalus. Completely random. Have you ever played Dragon Chess?
He looks at him. Dragon Chess? No.
Interesting.
What in the hells is that?
Well,
a dance that the nobles do.
No, not a dance, but a game. I guess a battle of wits, you could say. Maybe I should teach you how to play.
Very well. Perhaps when we have the time, you can show me. We'll have lots of time between here and Waterdeep in the morning. It's going to be a long journey.
Yes, it is.
The two of you continue on talking. You eventually do approach the young Redmore's home. Quiet, humble abode just on the outskirts of the main town proper area. You see a very homely cottage-style wooden home. You see stained glass windows depicting the ancestral tree on one side of the front of the house and another window with stained glass, and that stained glass window depicts what looks to be two people holding hands, a auburn-haired woman, and what looks to be a sort of brown-haired man. Look to be holding hands amidst the rising sun. As you approach, she unlocks the latches to her door. She opens the door, and Elia turns to you.
Welcome. Please, come inside. I can start working on those wounds. Take a seat here.
And she positions the both of you by the fire. She starts kindling it and getting it going. She hands the kindling over to Alistair, and she says,
Here. I assume you know how to start a fire and keep it going?
Alistair nods.
While you do that, I will go get some bandages and some supplies and begin dressing your wounds.
She trots off, and you can hear her trail down the hallway as she opens the door and then makes her way into some sort of closet area. You hear her rummaging through some things. You begin using the kindling and putting together what semblance of a fire you can with the supplies they have in this home. Can you roll me a survival check to see if Alistair can start a fire? You could go about this the old-fashioned way, too, mind you.
15.
15. Well, you start a fire, all right. Do you want to describe how you do it? Do you want to just do it normally, or do you use some magic?
So, as a young lad, Alistair receives some survival training from his father and knows how to kindle a fire pretty easily and does so as if it's just routine for him.
Nice. Okay. As you do so, she hands you the tools and the lumber that you'll need to start the fire. And as she hands you these materials, very quickly, you're just taken back to that moment when you were a child and your father had you in the surrounding woodlands near your home, where he first taught you basic survival skills, how to fish, how to track, how to scavenge, and most importantly, how to start a fire. It takes you back to that moment where he was standing there by your side, teaching you this very thing. And he says, Patience, my son. It takes patience to start a fire. As those words echo through your head, with great patience, with great effort, you routinely get to start this fire, or start to get this fire going. As this happens, Elia returns to the room.
Oh, excellent. Well done. I wouldn't think that a lord would know how to start a fire so easily. I thought that Daedalus would have taken the kindling from you. Daedalus looks over at her.
The only fire that I'm going to start tonight is the one that will lead to me having a warm meal.
Oh, fret not, Daedalus. I will have that ready in a moment. I need to attend to Alistair's wounds here. Alistair, will you lean back just for a moment?
She like kind of moves you to kind of like lay down on the ground.
He does so.
As you lay next to the fireside, she peels back part of your overcoat and your undershirt, and you see the what is now the beginning stages of infection on the wound that Daedalus gave you from his sickle on your gut. You can tell that this was definitely not bandaged properly. She takes one glance at it, and you can see her eyes widen.
Alistair, this is... How did this happen?
Just a little friendly scuffle, right, Daedalus?
I don't know if it was friendly, but yes, there was a scuffle.
I was being a little sarcastic, sorry.
Daedalus looks at you.
Yeah, sarcasm. That's lost on me, Dragonborns. We don't understand it a lot of the times, but I will try to keep up with you in this sarcasm you speak of. Yes, it was a friendly scuffle,
he says to Elia. She looks at him, she looks at you.
Right, a friendly scuffle with what I assume to be razor blades? Long swords? Scimitars?
How about a sickle?
Sickles, yes. Sickles!
She turns and she looks at you.
He cut you with a sickle?
Alistair just shrugs his shoulders. Well, I... Not gonna lie, I kind of hit him with a spell that knocked him back and banged his head against the wall. I would say it's a mutual combat. I don't think we really need to get into the semantics, you know?
This would explain the obvious signs of concussion on Daedalus.
What signs of concussion?
As you see, he's looking up at the sky right now, and his head's almost like, you can see he's kind of like, his head's kind of lulled back, kind of like he's in a fatality stage for Mortal Kombat, like to finish him. And she looks at Alistair.
Right, like I said, he's kind of concussed. How did his armor get destroyed, then? You're wielding a rapier.
Okay, so that could have happened in probably 2 points in the fight. Alistair's kind of like living through the fight again back in his head. It could have been when he suplexed me out of the window and I landed right in front of the tree. Or it could have been when I may have casted a spell or two on him. I'm not sure.
She kind of shakes her head almost in disbelief.
Strange friends make strange company, I guess.
Truthfully,
first impressions.
Truthfully,
I mean, at least you got your hostilities out of the way. What was that?
Oh, well, he was technically breaking into my home, but I guess with legal decree he showed me something he received from the Lord's Alliance.
Oh, yes, the decree. He showed me that as well. That's why I pointed him towards the manor.
Daedalus looks at you.
See? I was breaking no laws. I had my god's given right to enter that manor.
Well, I'm sorry for, being a little aggressive. I guess you can kind of understand when someone's on trying to get into your home, you can get a little upset.
Daedalus shrugs. And he kind of waves his hand back at you.
It's in the past, who cares? We're here now. We're alive. That's all that matters.
As he says this, Elia goes, yes, we're alive. Alistair, will you hold this for me?
And she hands you a red vial.
When I say to take a sip, because this is going to sting.
and this might take the sting out a little bit. As you see, she begins holding a small thimble over the fire for a few seconds. Okay, ready? Three, two, and she just starts on the thimble through your skin.
You just hear a loud scream echoing throughout this home.
You see Daedalus roll his eyes, almost at this situation. Oh, quit being such a baby, Alistair. Drink the potion already.
Oh, fuck!
It can't be that
bad. He drinks it after, like, 15 seconds of realizing she said drink the potion, and he drinks it.
As you drink the potion, immediate sensation of relief over your body. Numbness. And you look down at where she's stitching the wounds, and you can see the signs of infection are wearing off. You can see the skin returning to normal colors, and what parts of your, I hate to say it, what parts of your entrails that were kind of poorly held in there are starting to just kind of set back into their natural position as she's closing the wound up with the stitches. See? If you had just taken the sip, like I told you, it'd be fine.
Sorry, I think I also might be concussed.
He smiles.
She looks at you. She goes, let me see. And she like holds your eyelids open, like prying the top and bottom eyelid apart so you can't blink.
His eyes drift just straight up.
And she looks, oh yes.
Well, his definitely one eye. Concussed.
Yeah, the one eye. The one eye kind of like looks up and she can see it not, it's like real dilation is lacking there. She's like, oh yes, definitely concussed. How far did you fall?
20 feet, give or take.
Two stories, wow. Yes. You two need obvious rest. Stay here. You're free to rest here in the den. I will be down the hall. I will bring you two water. And in the morning, I will make you breakfast before you leave. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thank you. Again.
Wonderful. You're quite welcome, Alistair. Just remember, not everyone thinks you're guilty. She gets up and she nods at Daedalus. Daedalus nods back and she heads to her room. And you hear the door shut. She obviously keeps her word and brings the waters back, but then goes back and shuts the door. As now silence beyond the crackling of the now freshly kindled fire between them. You see Daedalus sits basking in the fire's warmth. His wounds, having been dressed as well, leans his head back a little bit and sighs in exhaustion. What a day.
Day indeed. Here, I grabbed something before I left.
He reaches into his bag and pulls out a bottle of liquor.
Fancy a drink?
Daedalus smirks. Have you ever drank in with a dragonborn before?
Just myself. Never shared a drink with somebody before.
You see Daedalus turn and look at his pack, and he starts rummaging through it. As he rummages through it, he lays out two sort of tin cups in front of the fresh liqueur bottle that you have. He lays them down in front of you. And he kind of motions to the cups. Alistair waiting for you pours. To pour them.
And as he pours, you see a beautiful, beautiful brown liquid. Pops a cap back on. So this is a aged 300-year elvish whiskey. Give it a try. It'll knock your socks off, as they say. And Alistair just... really quick and just one swift go drinks the entire cup he poured for himself.
See Daedalus with his clawed hands reaches down and entwines the tin cup with his golden fingers as he lifts the cup to his nostrils and takes a whiff of the aroma. Can you describe the aroma that he gets a scent of?
Yeah, so this elvish whiskey has a very earthy kind of wood scent to it at this time. No sweetness. It's an extremely bitter whiskey. There's no sweetening at all. It seems like it's pure, natural, from the barrel.
You see him look at it for a second. And he takes a swig of it. Small swig. Kind of swishes it around for a second. You see his eyes not widen, just raise his eyebrows like, okay, interesting. And then he takes a bigger swig and downs it.
That hit the spot.
And you see him slam the tin cup down on the table. You hear a thunk on the wooden floors. You hear a thunk from the tin cup hitting the floors. Another.
Alistair nods and pours another. He's already fucking... I rolled a con check and both, I failed. I'm assuming DC 10. Well, I don't know. You said it. Am I poisoned
or not? It gets harder the more you drink it. So the more you drink, it would obviously be a harder check. You're not going to feel the same effect of one shot of alcohol versus your third or fourth shot.
Oh, Alistair filled that whole cup up. I don't know how big that cup
shot. So, well, it's just a little tin cup. So, let's say for right now you pass the first one, but let's see if Daedalus passes, and then we'll make a second one for this next... Okay, so fortunately, Daedalus has a +3 in constitution.
That's good.
So that's a 5, which is literally the score he needed to pass, or else Daedalus was going to be absolutely blasted drunk right off the bat. You ever drink with a dragonborn before? Drinks one sip and is absolutely schlocked. Alright. So, as you pour the second round of drinks, you begin to raise the cup and Daedalus points up a finger as if to stop you.
If you're going to drink with another man, you have to toast to something. What shall we toast to, Alistair?
Alistair stops for a second, kind of playing with his little cup full of alcohol. Thinks for a moment. To finding happiness. He raises his tin cup.
Daedalus raises his as well. To finding happiness. He takes a big old swig and downs that motherfucker.
Yup. Damn, Skipper.
Alright, roll another con save. This time it's harder. It's going to be a 10.
Yep. Poisoned.
So you down this aged whiskey. And there was a key ingredient that you forgot. And you remember your father telling you at a very young age that upon your 18th birthday, that he wanted to drink this very same liquor with you. And you remember him saying, all too late now, but this just wasn't any liquor. This is magical stuff. This is special stuff. And you're realizing that now, that this is magical stuff. Can you roll me a D100? We're going to roll on the wild magic table right now.
11.
All right, let me pull up my little table right here. I have a file for it. Stuff I made for a wild magic table for this exact moment. And you rolled a what? 11?
11.
11. Alistair. As you down this, what was the name of the whiskey? It was an elven ale?
It's an elvish whiskey. I haven't given a name for it.
Okay, well, we'll just call it the elvish whiskey.
Okay.
Or what? You have a fancy name? Go ahead, tell me. What's the fancy name?
Dark Veil Divine.
Dark Veil Divine. Ooh, Dark Veil Divine. I like that. Okay. I like the alliteration on it. Dark Veil Divine. Double D. Sorry, I'm still late.
It's a good sheet, man.
All right. I'm still laughing at myself. I just thought a double D from Ed, Edd, and Eddie. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Anyways, so your result on the wild magic table. So our wild magic table is not the same as the one that can be found in the player's handbook. Ours is obviously going to be a lot more like flavorful and fun. In this case, Alistair, your skin starts to turn a vibrant shade of blue as you watch As you don't realize it, Daedalus sees it. Daedalus's eyes get real wide and he looks at you. Alistair, are you breathing right now? You don't look so good.
I feel all right.
You feel the warmth of that inebriation, that feeling magnified, and it is from head to toe. You can feel this gradient sort of flowing from the top of your head. It flows to your eyes, to your mouth, down your throat, down your chest, out your arms, to the tips of your fingers, down to your legs, through your knees, to the tips of your toes. You look at your hands, and you're glowing blue. And you can see it, clear as day.
What in the nine hells?
Daedalus looks at you for a moment.
My dad wasn't lying when he was saying this is special shit.
Daedalus picks up the whiskey and looks at it, and he sees the... He kind of shakes it around and looks at the bottle. He looks at it, and he sees the flakes of, like, glitter, like a silvery glitter in this deep, amber-hued whiskey. He looks at it. Oh, this is enchanted. May I have another?
Alistair nods.
Would you like another? He goes to pour a second cup. He's looking at you.
Absolutely. Please fill my cup.
He fills the cup again. He hands it to you. Hands it to him. Toasts them together for a second. Downs it. Another check. This time, Alistair...
I have disadvantage on this, just so you know.
Yep. This time with disadvantage.
Oh my god, I rolled a 2!
Alright, let's see what Daedalus rolls. Daedalus passes again, baby!
Alistair is gonna say something in this moment as after he downs his third drink and is completely fucked. Daedalus, I have a question.
And I have an answer.
Are there establishments where you can drink in public with other people?
Daedalus is almost like flabbergasted at the question.
What do you mean, like an inn or a tavern or a bar?
A what?
You've never heard of a tavern? Certainly you've heard of a tavern before.
Name sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever been in one. My mom was always such a stickler about my dad not bringing us anywhere near one of those places when I was younger. Never really understood what it was, so...
I'll make a deal with you, Alistair. I'll take you to the first inn we find on the way back to Waterdeep. But you're going to be the one paying. How's that sound?
Alistair takes a second, checks his coin purse. Counting. Huh.
Well, it's not much, but I think we'll make do with it.
And he shows 25 gold pieces, which is, like, I say it's not much, but, like, in D&D terms, it's a lot of money. But Alistair is also a noble, so he's like, it's not really that much.
Daedalus looks at him.
Yeah, That's not a lot at all.
And then he looks over his much smaller coin purse that has literally like 3 gold pieces left in it after those guards took that tax on him when he tried to enter the manor. He's literally got 3 gold left to his name. He's got a couple he's got probably like a handful of copper, 3 or 4 pieces of silver, and those it's actually 2 gold, forgive me, it's 2 gold in his inventory. 2 gold. Excuse me. Itching my throat all night.
You're good.
2 gold, 4 silver, and 18 coppers, what he has. Daedalus looks at his pouch, looks at that 25 gold.
Yeah, no, no, that's totally normal amount. I mean, you're practically a commoner. It will have to do, Alistair. It will have to do. You should get some rest, though.
Yep. As Alistair just says, fuck it, and pours another drink for himself.
He says, yep, as he's pouring another drink.
This motherfucker doesn't need to sleep. He's a half elf.
Roll me a d20 dexterity sleight of hand to see if you could pour the drink without it falling over.
Oh, no.
With disadvantage.
No. Oh, yeah, I'm disadvantaged. Hold on, let me roll a second time.
20. Oh, shit.
Eight.
So, as you go to pour the drink, you overpour a little bit. A little bit of a spillage. And then you see Daedalus, what are you doing?
Oopsie.
Wasting all of that good liquor. Daedalus grabs the liquor bottle from you. You can have that cup, but you've had enough beyond that. We have to travel in the morning. You can't be hungover. Although at this point, you're probably going to be...
Hangover? And he just passes out.
The cup. Did you even down that cup of drink?
He did, but he got it pretty. He got some in his mouth and some not.
So it's like you're mid sipping it, and you're like, hangover, and then you just pass out. Some of the drink gets in your mouth, some of it gets on you, some of it's on the ground. Daedalus looks at you. You don't hear this, but he observes you in the state you are. He looks you over and he sees that you're beyond just your mental state. Physically, you are a fucking mess. You don't look like you've really taken care of yourself in years. And he's really realizing that now. Now that he's getting a good look at you, he's like looking at you. You've got stubble all over your face, patchy stubble. Your hair's unkempt. You bathe, but it doesn't look like you bathe, you know, as often as a noble would. You get what I'm saying? You don't care, take care of yourself in the way you once did. Your fingernails are dirty and unkept. Your clothes are stained and they smell beyond the alcohol that you just spilt on them. Daedalus remarks to himself that, well, my fate is in your hands, Alistair. Hopefully come morning, you've got a better control over yourself and your senses. We both need you to. Both of our lives hang in the balance of this trial and your innocence. As you see Daedalus then, well, you don't see it, but then Daedalus turns over himself and begins to get some rest. Can we take a break, my brother?
Yes, I want to grab my other beer. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, go ahead. Did you hit the break?
Yeah.